Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Two Cups of Tea. I'm Chris Heath and I've got the best job in podcasting because I get to stick the kettle on, peel the foil off a Viscount biscuit and listen to another amazing life story from someone in their golden years. Today I'm in Rochdale talking to 84-year-old Pat Fallon. His life story is a belter, starting in 1934 in Dublin. His tales feature wild swimming, sultana wrangling, weightlifting, bodybuilding, upstaging Jimmy Cricket, Mexicans who sound like Germans, and the love of his life. I'll go in and set up the microphones while you listen to the theme tune. Let's do this. So, Pat, first of all, I need to say welcome to Two Cups of Tea.
Thank you very much.
We're here today in Rochdale, but I'll be honest, you don't sound like you're from Rochdale originally.
Oh, God, no.
Take me back to the very... Oh, God, no.
No.
So take us back to the beginning. Where are you from? When were you born?
I was born in Dublin.
Yeah.
I didn't walk off a postcard. I was born there in Dublin. To a 17-year-old, my mother was 17 years of age.
Yeah.
When I was born. I was born in a poor house in Dublin.
Yeah.
Called St. James's
Hospital. Like the workhouse or...
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, so we're talking about 1934. So I was born on the 16th of February.
Yeah.
1934. My mum was in the workhouse.
Yeah.
Like the Magna Laundry place.
Right.
And she was with me, I don't really know how long. Maybe three years, I believe. And then I was there till I was 4 years and 2 months. And then I was taken out of there.
Have you got any memories of it?
My earliest memory was there was a load of windows, concertina windows.
Yeah.
And they opened and closed and they were about 14 foot wide. And I remember the blackboard building its nest on a drain pipe.
Yeah.
I remembered the sister who was in charge, and her name was Sister Claire.
Yeah.
Now, I came out of there in, I'd say, about 1939.
Yeah.
And at that time, a lot of the people in the mountains and around Dublin, the Dublin mountains really, they used to take in, they didn't adopt children, they boarded them out. And the government paid the people for looking after us. So the people got a paycheck.
Oh, so they got a little bit of money for looking after the kids.
Yeah, for feeding us and looking after us. And then they gave us vouchers a couple of times a year, possibly.
Yeah.
For to go and buy boots or shoes or clothes.
Yeah, the stuff, the essential stuff you needed.
Yeah, and they had to have the bills for them, and I could only buy in one shop. And that was in Frawley's in Camden Street.
In Dublin.
And so they had to fill in a form then to say they spent this and give the receipts in, so there was no filling. So that was, I come out of the convent.
Yeah.
At that 4 years and 2 months. And another chap came with me. And
you both went to the same place in the mountains?
Yes, but there was many, many children came out.
Yeah.
It was a big van, like the Black Maria or Paddy's Taxi.
Yeah.
Whatever they want to call it, you know. So We come out in this big van. I do remember that. And two people have been dropped off here and two there and one there.
Yeah.
And at that time, as I say, it was just before the war, thereabouts, and times was hard. But people did it for years. They brought out children to Rare because they got a few bob for it.
Yeah.
And they only had a very small farm. And,
were they nice? Do you remember them being nice people?
The mother was a lovely woman.
Yeah.
She was a lovely woman. I used to call her Granny.
Yeah.
And she was adorable. And she died in 1958.
Yeah.
She died in 1958, the 22nd of June, 1958.
Wow, that's...
when she died. And this year...
Yeah.
This year, me and one of her great-grandsons...
Yeah.
..erected a monument or a headstone to her. Beautiful headstone, and me and him erected that.
Yeah. What a wonderful thing to do.
I've done it on the 60th anniversary of her death.
So where was that?
In a place called Bohunabrina, near Talla. Talla is the nearest.
And that's where she lived?
We lived up in the mountains, really.
Yeah.
A little place called Friarstown. So... And the two of us was brought there.
Yeah.
And I was a bit of a rebellion kind of a chap.
Were you?
Even then.
So a bit of a...
So I didn't want to stay there. I wanted to go back to Sister Claire.
Mm.
So I...
Oh, really? Did you want to go back to the...
I didn't want to go back to Sister Claire. I didn't know anybody else, really.
Yeah.
Bear in mind. So the woman's daughter, the woman of the house daughter, who was a lovely woman, and she was probably about 30 or thereabouts.
Yeah.
So I had the little short trousers on, which I had for many years after, and she shook me out of my trousers. And
held you upside down and shook you out of your trousers?
Shook me out of my trousers and was rebelling. And the other little chap that was with me, he just got in the corner and cowed in the corner and just stopped there. But after that, I wouldn't say it was all joy and... But it turned out to be very, very good. And we got well treated.
Yeah.
And we'd plenty of food because we had our own vegetables and potatoes and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, really? Gotcha.
And cabbages. And the old lady, as I call her, she used to plant cabbages and she used to keep turkeys and chickens and ducks.
So that was during the war, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was the war years. You were there the whole time.
So we were... very, very well off in comparison to the poor people in Dublin.
So from the age of five onwards, you didn't have the rationing, you had all your vegetables, everything was...
We had own and other people, but sugar was rationed, but we got so much sugar, but we didn't get much of it.
Yeah.
We got about 200 weight of sugar in the school, and you had to have a halfpenny or a farthing or a penny to get a cup of cocoa. And
right.
If you didn't have that, you didn't get a cocoa. And the schoolmaster, he used to help himself. He was a very bad man.
Oh, was he?
Oh, he was horrible. He was a nightmare. And so I had a boil on my bum. And
he had a boil on your bum?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I couldn't read. This time I couldn't read. I had it off by heart. I had it all off
by
heart.
Oh, so you learned it. So it looked like you were reading it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was coming down with my finger. And he caught me on the wrong line. And he came with your knee in the backside and pushed me by it.
Oh!
that's the kind of a chap he was.
Yeah.
He was a horrible man.
So you learned it all off by heart and then were following with your finger on the line.
I don't know how I learned it off by heart, but it did.
Well, I tell you what, that's impressive.
Yeah.
You should get points for that.
I should have. I have hundreds and hundreds of songs. Hundreds of songs.
Where did you first get your love of music? Was that out there?
Probably in school. I do remember the first time I got up to sing 10 Green Bottles hanging on the wall.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I must have liked singing. And then the next time I got up to sing, there was some kind of a prize and it was at a circus in the village.
Yeah.
And
the circus had come to town.
The circus used to come to town.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I went there and there was some singing competition, so I must have fancied myself.
Yeah.
So I got up, and when it was my turn, I sang the first two lines and took stage fright and took off and landed 2 or 3 rows back.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you just bolted and just and ran off the stage.
Bolted, just run off.
Oh.
I couldn't. And the first two lines were McNamara's band. Oh, my name is McNamara, I'm the leader of the band. And then I took stage fright and off I took. Yeah. So then we make our confirmation.
Yeah.
And all the students has to go and made a confirmation. And then that day we all took a pledge.
Yeah.
And he took this pledge that he would not drink alcohol. So I took the pledge that day.
Yeah.
And I have it still all those years later.
Oh, you've never had a drink?
I've never had a drink in my life.
Wow.
Yeah. And I can get up on any stage, anywhere, and sing and tell jokes or whatever.
Well, that's why you can remember it all so clearly, because you've never had a drink.
Never had a drink.
It's the buns that I have.
Well, don't you think the rest of them drink enough for me?
Yeah.
We had some great times, really, and swimming in the rivers.
Yeah.
Was another thing. I mean, coming from school one day, we blocked this river off. It must be 30, 40 foot long.
Yeah.
In the glen. And we blocked the river off. The whole lot of all the school kids, we blocked the river off. And we put bushes and branches and sods and grass and stones and everything.
Oh, so you'd made like a dam?
Yeah, made a dam.
Yeah.
And it was 30, 40 foot long, the dam. And so we came from school, a whole lot of us, all the gang, very hot summer's day. And we just threw the clothes off.
Yeah.
Dived in, no clothes on, because we didn't wear underpants in those days.
Yeah.
We didn't have them anyway, but best of underpants was unheard of.
Yeah.
Until I nearly come over here. So we all got in and the clothes was on the banks and there was fat fellas and thin fellas and big back sides on them.
Yeah.
And didn't the owners of the land come down?
Yeah.
And her daughter, three daughters she had, and the woman, the mother of them, and they pulled the dam down. She got rid of the dam because they were afraid their cattle might go into the river.
Yeah.
That was the reason why we, as kids, we didn't care.
They were just ruining your fun.
All we wanted was to swim.
Yeah.
And there was some beautiful trout in the bottom that it was so clear you could see the trout in the bottom.
Oh, it was really clear water as well.
It was so clear, mountain was cold. Oh my God.
Yeah, but when you're a kid, you don't care. If you want to swim, you just leap in, don't you?
We didn't feel the cold.
Yeah.
I swam on Patrick's Day one time, 17th of March. I swam in the river.
My God. Cold. That will have been cold.
Honestly. But
that was up in the mountains, that would have been freezing.
Yeah, it was freezing where it was rising.
Well, it must have been quite a strong current as well, I would have thought.
Well, it was a big pool. Like the dam was, the water was coming down from a waterfall.
Yeah.
So it was...
there was a big waterfall as well, must have been.
There was a big waterfall coming down, so we were in there.
Is it as beautiful as you make it sound?
Oh, it was beautiful. I have a picture of it.
So this would be about 12 or 14, so you must have been near about the time when you started getting interested in girls.
Yeah. I wasn't that much interested in girls, though we had gangs. There was gangs of girls and boys up in the mountains.
Yeah.
But never any carrying on.
So we used to just knock up your own...
Well, we had our own entertainment.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. And we used to put a big stone and then a flat stone on top of it and then try to knock it off.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And kick cans and hide and seek. We seem that the way I'm putting it, that it looks like we've done nothing but play. Okay. We had to get our bundles of sticks. We had to get five or six big bundles of sticks, as much as you can carry.
Yeah, because that's got to last you, hasn't it? Because I imagine when it was cold, it was freezing.
Yeah, but on top of that, you see, with so many children going picking sticks, we had to keep going further and further away.
Yeah.
To get the sticks, so we would go up to 2 miles. We used to like it when it was high winds.
Yeah.
Because we'd knock the timbers down in the wood.
Yeah.
And the branches, and we'd all have a good day there, take a nap.
So when you were 14 and you left school, what happened?
I used to...
Where did you go next?
Well, I done a bit of work for the granny. it was, say, the small
the granny, the one who did the statue
the
for.
Woman that was a,
yeah,
the woman that was adopted as her board of stuff.
So in total, how long were you with her for?
I was with her until I was up to 20.
So you were there, you got 16 good years with her.
Oh, yeah.
So you must have really become close.
Oh, we came very close.
Yeah, I can see why you would. That's such a lovely thing to do, but I can see why you would organise to have a, what was it, say? A
monument.
A monument.
Well, a headstone better than a monument.
Yeah.
A monument could be 10 foot high, but no, it was a nice headstone, about 3 foot high, a great big Wicklow granite stone. And me and her grandson, we done it between us.
Oh. Can you remember what it said on it?
I do. To Kate Grimes.
Yeah.
And the date she died.
Yeah.
And to Boss Grimes. He was always known as Boss.
Yeah.
Boss Grimes, that's what he was always known as.
Her husband.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with fondest memories.
Yeah.
From Pat.
That's such a lovely thing to do.
Yes, I felt I owed it to her.
Yeah.
Because she was very good. Very good to me. After that.
So this is, so you're 14, you've left school. So
yeah, I went working for farmers a bit.
Yeah.
And there was a big farmer. I had a big landowner here, a lot of land. He was a lovely man too. And he was a world champion ploughman. And he ploughed
a world,
ploughman, yeah. And he ploughed till about 1949-50 with horses.
Yeah.
And he borrowed horses from his friend.
Yeah.
And his friend was a ploughman as well. And
I wonder what you have to do to be a world champion ploughman.
But he
must have gone to championships and things.
Oh, yeah, he competed in many championships. I've been a couple of times myself since I came over here.
Yeah.
Went back to Vernon and went to see the playing championships.
Yeah.
And you have to have very straight bills, very straight die, and the salt has to be lapped against the other one so that didn't...
Oh, so it's all about the quality of the furrow.
Yeah, the furrow.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And then he's done that with
and it's
horses.
About how exact it is and straight and it's got to look.
And
he gets marked
himself.
On
he
that,
to,
does he?
He used to play with the dad to learn himself. But he's a great big farm, maybe 300 acres.
Yeah. So he used to play with the dad to practice getting
to
the straight lines.
To practice getting the straight lines.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And then he started with a tractor.
Yeah.
And a big tractor. And then he was sponsored by Nutfields. Tractor people.
Yeah, because he was a world champion, so
yeah.
They wanted him to be the face of...
Yeah.
What was the name of the company? Nutfield.
Nutfield.
Yeah.
And he had a big... There was always a big spread in the big paper, the Irish Independent or the Irish Press.
Yeah.
A picture of him, and you could see... I can see it still, but I'm looking back at the first furrow. And he was trading that then for... Or advertising that for Nutfield. So we had that for...
So he would have got a brand new tractor.
Brand new tractor.
Probably that's amazing.
Every time the playing championships come out. Yeah, it was a lovely man.
Yeah.
And he was on One Man and His Dog. He's been on that.
He did sheepdog stuff as well,
didn't he? Sheepdogs as well. He was on that programme, One Man and His Dog.
Yeah.
Here in Britain, many a time. Yeah.
Wow. All the... Come by.
So I worked for him.
So what did you do for him?
I looked after the cattle sometimes. I fed the cattle and cleaned out after the cattle. And,
yeah.
And done some work down the fields and that kind of thing. Just for a few bob when I was 14, 15,
yeah.
16. Then I got my first job. I got my first job in a factory.
Yeah.
Which seems unusual. But I went to a factory and...
Is that still up in the mountains or is it...
No, this was down in Talla.
Down Tower.
Down in the lowlands.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went working for this man in this factory and I was doing washing apples and currants and sultanas. And he was doing mincemeat.
Oh, so this
sweet.
Was this is
this
the,
is when
this
I was 16.
Factory.
Back to me 16 years of age.
Yeah. You're 16, you start working in the factory.
Start working in the factory.
What did the factory make?
It made mincemeat, mostly sweet mince for pies.
Oh, mince pies.
Mince meat pies. They didn't make the pies themselves. They made a mince meat for the pies.
Yeah.
And he was a lovely man, very generous man. And he sometimes would have orders in and you had to work 24 hours a day, or he'd two shifts on, that kind of thing. And then the trouble was, after maybe 2 or 3 weeks, he's nothing. So, but I worked for him for a good while. And then in the meantime, then I took a job in a building job, building street, and it was blue by there. And then I come back to him when he got to work, come back to him.
What was your, you know, your big memories of the actual job? What was your job in the factory?
I was washing apples, one job, and the other job was opening these big, like there was 100 pounds boxes of currants and raisins and sultanas. There was a 100 pound box. It was coming in from, wherever they're coming from, Africa, wherever.
Yeah.
And it'd be solid.
Like a great big solid
block of,
you'd have to break up the raisins into separate,
break them up and send them down the tables.
Yeah.
And there was a load of girls, maybe 50 girls, all along these long tables down the factory.
Wow. And picking them. I bet they were all condensed down as well, weren't they?
Yeah, oh, they were very solid. So that's what I was doing there, and washing barrels.
Did you like it?
I liked it. Oh, I loved it there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I went walking in a concrete factory place, concrete plant, where they made big concrete blocks.
Oh, did you?
Everything concrete.
Is that in Tala again?
It was in Clondalkin.
Oh, okay, Clondalkin.
Further away, Clondalkin. Yeah. And we used to go on our bikes. It was about 6-7 miles.
Yeah.
And we'd go on the bikes to it. And then walk all day. Sometimes we walk nights. We went on shift work there.
You wouldn't do all day and then all night, would you?
No.
Yeah.
No, I did that later in my own life. I did that.
God.
Yeah, I worked all day and all night. But getting back to that, then a men's strike came on. And
the what came on?
The people couldn't make cement.
Right.
They weren't making cement. They weren't delivering cement. That's what makes the concrete.
Yeah.
And so the building trade stopped and couldn't make blocks, couldn't make anything. So we were off for about 6 weeks.
Wow.
At least. And no job. So Punchestown, racing comes into my life a lot. Punchestown came as a very big festival, a bit like Cheltenham.
Yeah.
Now, and it was then. And everybody got sick. All the factories was nearly empty on Punchestown. Everybody was sick. They wanted to go to Punchestown.
Yeah.
It was about 40, 15 miles away maybe from me. And we used to go on the bikes up to Punchestown. So we'd been there a few times. And so I went down to the boss of the factory, the plant, concrete plant.
Mm.
And I says to him, I'd like to go to Punchestown tomorrow.
Yeah.
Is there any chance that you could give me a few bob holiday pay?
Yeah.
He said, I don't see why not. He was a nice man. So he gave me the holiday pay.
Mm.
So I took the bus into Dublin, got myself a cheap suitcase and ticket for the boat.
Mm.
And then I finished up Liverpool or Holyhead that the next morning.
Yeah.
But I came home and I said to the granny, I said, when is the tea going to be? I said, I have to wait till the others come home. I said, I can't wait. I said, I'm leaving tonight.
Mm.
Well, of course, that caused a few tears. So I said, I said, I'm going to England. So I had some school friends in England. So
that's a big thing.
Yeah, I put the case in the bottom window of the bottom.
So just tell me this bit again. So how did the move to England start?
Because of the concrete factories or plants.
They ran out of cement.
They couldn't get cement.
So you had to go where the work was.
So I went where the work was. It was about probably 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Hoping the cement slip would be fixed.
So how old were you? You must have been about 18, 19, were you?
I was more than that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I went to 21.
Oh, okay.
When I went there. So I went to England and I just had a few rags and an old coat and I had a pair of boots.
So almost literally just went with the money in your pocket and that's it?
Spent with £9 and a suitcase.
Yeah.
That's what I had left after paying for my ticket. £9 and a suitcase. I always tell my children that.
What did you when you first arrived in England, what did you think? Did you think I made a mistake? Did you think this is great?
Well, I didn't. But when I got to Holyhead, this bloke, the customs man, wanted to, postman wanted to see what I had in my case. He says, why have you got an air pass? Well, that surprised me a bit because I'd never been in England before, so I don't know how he knew my name. So he opened my case.
Yeah.
And what had I got in the case? Big old coat and a pair of nail boots with a load of cow dung and pig manure on them.
Yeah.
And it's so beautiful. And as soon as he got the smell of that, he soon put the case lid back on it. Off you go. Yeah, that's the truth.
There you go. There's a good tip for smugglers.
Yeah.
Just cover everything in
cow dung.
Yeah.
Pig dung. Yeah. So I got it with that. And then I got to Manchester Central Station.
Yeah.
And I got a taxi from there. And it said it was 3 bob.
Yeah.
3 shillings. 15p in today's.
Yeah.
So it was 3 bob, so I only had 2 half-crowns. So I gave him the 2 half-crowns, expecting to get me 2 bob back.
Yeah.
And he really drove off.
Of course he did.
But the first time I was in England, I got robbed 2 bob. So then I made my way to Grafton Street, which is right near the Royal Infirmary now.
Yeah.
There. And when I sent the address home, I thought, God, our passage is living the hopeless in Grafton Street.
Yeah.
There were pictures in Grafton Street, but there Grafton Street in Dublin. Beautiful Grafton Street in Dublin.
Yeah.
But very far from it. So the next day I was out working. The very next day was Tuesday.
Mm.
I went out to work on the Tuesday. There was loads of work that time in 1955. And I was went up to work on Langley Estate. You know, Langley was being built at that time. There was lots and lots of builders up there. So I went walking there and was sweeping roads, wheeling ashes to flaggers and that kind of thing. So I only stayed there a few weeks. Got a better job. Harder job, but a better job.
Ooh, you had a harder job. What was that?
Well, it was in the building, but wheeling loads of concrete and digging out foundations all by hand with no machines then.
Yeah.
Digging out
foundations by hand?
Yeah.
God, that is a tough job.
Yeah, as much as 10 foot deep.
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 metres. Then you had to put timbers in and that.
Yeah.
And throw it up and fire and then concrete them. And the concrete was mixed on the site.
Yeah.
So the wheelbarrows up back of the concrete.
Wow.
It was £13, 10 shillings for 6 days. I actually took up boxing first. When I was in Grafton Street, it was the Holy Name wasn't far from Grafton Street.
Yeah.
And so I was always into athletics, it could be like in that. But I took up boxing.
Yeah.
I was at it for about a month. And I was put in the ring. Well, he knocked hell out of me, this guy.
So, oh, really? So you got a wallop in your first time round?
Yeah. So I thought, this is not for me.
I think that's a perfectly rational decision.
A bit like Cassius Clay, I didn't want to get my looks ruined.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you're the handsome one, don't forget. You can't,
I was,
get, your,
yeah.
Well, you can't still, get your nose broke.
The girls still say that. there was a lad in the digs where it was, and he was doing weightlifting.
Yeah.
And he said, but why don't you come with me? So Lucky Marciano was big at the time in the 1955s.
Yeah.
And he won 49 fights without a loss. Do you know the last man who boxed him?
Yeah.
The Undertaker. That was the last man who boxed him.
Very good.
Yeah. So with that, I don't know, this guy said to his mate, he says, this is Pat. He said, he's been doing some boxing. Hello, Rocky, he said. So call me Rocky from that day to this. And he still calls me Rocky all those years later.
So, because of Rocky Marciano, that was your nickname?
Yeah, yeah. Patrick Thomas Rocky Fallon. That's what they called me.
Rocky Fallon.
Yeah.
That's a great name.
So when I got into the weightlifting then,
yeah,
I was into swimming as well, but I liked the weightlifting. I took up the weightlifting.
So what made you do that? Just because it was good fun? Or?
It was. I wasn't getting bet in the face. And then
I suppose it was better than getting smashed in the face.
Yeah, good reason.
That's a good answer, Pat.
The best reason.
It was better than getting smashed in the face.
That's in the gob. So then I took that up, and then I graduated with that and started entering competitions. And
yeah.
The club that I was in started going in for weightlifting league.
Yeah.
And went from that and took up the weightlifting and became reasonably good.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be modest, of course.
Obviously, no, yeah. Don't know. This is not a time for modest.
No, not
this
modest.
This is where we crow about our achievements.
I took up the weightlifting and I got reasonably good at it. And I won the North West Counties in 1960.
Yeah.
In the 13 stone class. I became told in the Britain, in all Britain. Then I took, I was doing bodybuilding as well.
See, but so what year was that? Was that in the
it started late... 58, 59.
Yeah.
And 62.
I was going to say, because bodybuilding seems like quite a new thing, but it obviously is not, is it?
Oh,
it
was... no, it was a big thing. Still a very big thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I was doing bodybuilding, but the lifts I was doing was bodybuilding lifts.
Yeah.
Because it was two hands curl for the biceps.
Yeah.
You're doing the bench press for the pectorals, the chest, and you're doing the squat for your legs.
Yeah.
So the big weight on the shoulders and squat down with it and come back up. And you had to do it officially, you had to, your ties had to be level with the floor, you know, not like that.
Yeah.
So to get it official. So that's what I had to have. So the bodybuilding was really, those three exercises was do the bodybuilding.
Yeah.
So then I become good at that and pick the body up.
So you must have looked like you were...
I looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could you do that thing where you made your pecs dance, you know, dum, bum, bum,
well,
bum, bum, bum,
yeah,
bum, 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 bum.
I was with him many times, Tony Holland.
Yeah, the guy from, was it Opportunity Knocks?
I've got a photograph of me and him.
And with Tony Holland, the guy who did that song?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I was at the first show he ever did, and that was at the Holdwood Hall, Tony Holland, and he was, that wonder schoolboy.
Yeah.
Wonder schoolboy at the time. And then he got on Opportunity Knocks. And he won that five times.
Well, that was just through doing the thing, making his pecs dance.
Yeah,
his
pecs and his lats. And,
oh, yeah, and yes, it was,
the lats.
You know, was it? And it was always the same song, wasn't it? It was always...
Yeah.
I love it.
I'll show you a photograph of him.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, so and then another world champion. And we were, the three of us was in a competition at Middleton one time. And we were up on the back of a wagon. This coal wagon, flat boat coal wagon, we're in the back of that, and we were in this Mr. Middleton contest.
Yeah.
And neither of the three was got in the first three at that time. Yeah.
But how's bodybuilding changed? Because now when you look at them, they've all got all of the fake, they all look like they've got Bovril all over them, don't they?
Well,
did you do that at the time? Did you do the fake tan?
No.
No.
We did shave. We shaved the legs and the chest. And that, but we didn't.
Yeah, because you've got to see the definition, I suppose, haven't you?
See the definition, yeah.
Yeah.
Then later on, oil came into just ordinary olive oil and that, just to make it smooth look.
Yeah.
But wasn't that. So I had a good time in that, you know, a good few.
Yeah.
And then I started doing some instructing.
Yeah.
For the Manchester Education Federation.
Yeah.
So I done some instructing there, and... I got the price and me deposit for my first house.
Yeah.
Out of it.
Really? Yeah,
put that straight into the bank.
So that, it was really putting food on the table, wasn't it?
Well, I've got the price and the deposit for my house out of it.
That's fantastic.
But then I've done an awful lot for weightlifting. I've done an awful lot. For all this, Manchester Federation started leagues up and competitions between all the different...
Oh, really?
All over. Winshaw, Lakeley... All over the place, Rochdale.
Yeah.
And there was a good few clubs in Manchester then, youth clubs, Crossley House, the old Timpsons on.
So you used to work with kids as well, getting kids into it.
Teenagers and that.
Yeah.
I run a couple of leagues.
So you must have been a big name on the circuit right back then.
It was in my day, man.
Yeah.
And when the three children came along pretty quick, I had to draw a line under.
Well, so there you go. Well, tell me how you met your wife.
I met my wife, I met her in Dublin.
Yeah.
The first year I went home on holidays
mm.
and I stayed over a couple of weeks. And after that, I...
And how old were you at this point?
I was 22.
So you were 22, yeah, so this would have been like 1956.
around there. 57, yeah, yeah, 56.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then I went to this dance hall because I had, before I left, I had a fancy for a girl.
Yeah.
And I was told that she'd be at this dance hall.
Yeah.
And I'd never been in the dance hall before.
Right.
I'd been to other dance halls 3 or 4 times a week
yeah.
before that.
But not this one.
But not this one.
Right.
I was told she'd be there. So I go to this dance hall and I seen this blondie girl and another ginger haired one. So I went up and I asked the blondie girl for a dancer. And she's a pretty good dancer.
Yeah.
She's a good dancer.
But she wasn't the girl that you went there to find.
The girl I wanted wasn't there. I missed her. She wasn't there that night.
Yes.
So I used to go, I was on holidays now, bear in mind.
Yeah.
So I went that night, so I danced a few dances with her and somebody else and somebody else. Then the next day, I go to another dance from 3 o'clock until six
yeah.
in Dublin. And who comes in only? Blondie.
Same girl.
The same girl. So I had a few dances with her and I says to her, I said to myself, I talk to myself sometimes, I said to myself, I'm going to tap this one up now for the last dance. when I went for the last dance, she was gone.
Oh.
Gone. So, anyway, I goes dancing on Thursday night
yeah.
into Dublin again. But bear in mind, we're 12 miles from Dublin, where we live.
Yeah.
And so I goes in there and here she comes in again. But what they used to do in those days,
yeah.
they used to give the girls free tickets, free dance tickets, so it was free in. To get the girls in for the boys.
Yeah.
You know.
Because the girls were like bait.
Yeah.
For the lads.
No girls there, the fellas wouldn't be coming.
Yeah.
So, this third time, lucky. So she was there this night, and there was a garden outside with just soft drinks in.
Yeah.
So I said, would you like a drink, cold drink? All right. So then we're talking to her outside, sitting on a stool. I said to her, would you like to come out with me? On a date. Ask me nicely, she said. Ask me nicely. I said, how nice can I ask you? Would you like to come on a date? It's your choice. You can go to the cinema, go for a walk, or dance, whatever.
Mm.
So we made a date for Saturday night. So
as she obviously thought you'd ask nicely enough. So
I must have asked nicely enough.
Good.
Yeah. So on the Saturday night, it was a terrible night.
Yeah.
Snow and blizzard. So my granny says to me, you're not going out tonight, lad. I said, I am. I've got a heavy date. She said, don't care about that.
Mm.
So, and I said, I'm going anyway.
Yeah.
So off I went. I walked about 2 miles to a bus. Then I got a bus into town.
Yeah.
And I got up in this big windows out of the shelter of the snow. And I couldn't believe nonsense. Here's this girl coming down like a snow lady. And it was herself.
Was it?
So it was God. I couldn't believe it. Because I didn't even know. I just knew her first name.
Well, you knew her as Blondie. But what was what was her name?
Nancy.
And that's who went on to be your wife?
Yeah. Nancy. And my first date was on the 5th of February.
Yeah.
56, first date. And we went to a picture house.
Yeah.
And when we come back, the snow was all gone. So I would have been prepared to walk home.
Yeah.
But so she got her bus home and I got my bus home. And
perfect. How long in the end were you married to Nancy for?
Married Nancy 56 years.
Wow.
Yeah. 56 years. Oh, we were very happy. Very happy. Had our ups and downs, but we're very happy.
Everyone does.
Everybody does.
Everyone does.
Three lovely girls, three great girls, no doubt about.
Yeah.
So I gave up the weightlifting because of the youngest one came.
Yeah.
And it wasn't fair. I was very much into the music with the young generation.
Is it? Am I right in thinking you're right for singing as well? You were saying something about singing.
Singing, yeah.
So what kind of song? What
I sing
kind of
all
stuff?
Kinds of songs. And I sing...
Where do you sing?
I sing... Sometimes Jimmy Cricket does a
Jimmy Cricket, the comedian?
Yeah.
Wow.
I can tell you one about him. Jimmy.
Well, no. Tell me about the singing. So where do you sing?
Interested in singing, yeah. Always, and they say I have hundreds of songs. I sing all kinds of songs, sad songs, jolly songs,
yeah,
and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
History song, with history song about a dog, for instance.
Yeah.
Called Master McGrath.
Yeah.
He won the Waterloo Cup in 1978, 69, or 71. And a big statue they built to him down in Waterford.
Yeah.
And that's a lovely, jokey song.
Yeah.
You know, so I do that one. And my wife wrote a lovely song.
Oh, really? She wrote one?
She wrote one, yes. And I actually sang it on Manchester, GMR.
Yeah.
On the 22nd of November last year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a beautiful song. It's about the assassination of John F. Kennedy.
Wow, and your wife wrote it?
Yeah, she wrote it.
Wow.
And was telling the life story in one sense of him. He came to Ireland. His father was an Irish ambassador in the 40s. And they came over with him when he was about 12.
Yeah.
And then he came back again then in 1963. And I think it's nice.
Yeah.
You know. There was a man called Kennedy, and freedom was his aim. He became the youngest president of Great America.
Yeah.
He strove for liberty for all, regardless of their creed. A brave and fearless man was he. This everyone agreed. His young wife's name was Jackie, who was lovely and refined. They had two pretty children called young John and Caroline. He loved his family dearly, and this love he did return. And now this love for him within their hearts will ever burn. It was on a late November day as Jackie drove along, smiling to the waving crowds at Dallas Street that throng.
Yeah.
Beside him sat his proud young wife, as happy as could be, until a bullet bowed the head of brave Jack Kennedy.
Well, I've got to give that a round of applause.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
And I tell you what, knowing that, that's how you knew that reading off by heart when you were faking being able to read, because you obviously got a talent for memorising things, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
And your wife wrote that?
My Nancy wrote that.
Yeah.
In 1963, the date, a few weeks after Paula was born. Paula was born on the 6th of October. I'm telling Paula's age now, she mightn't like me to do that. But she was sitting there watching the television and she was feeding the baby. And she said, somebody should write something about him.
Yeah.
And she did.
Wow.
So that's sometimes I sing that or rewrite that in places.
So Nancy's no longer with us, is she?
No, not a mission. She died on the 5th of February. The first date I had there was on the 5th of February. And she died on the 5th of February 2014. So she's 4 years dead.
Yeah. Oh, bless your heart.
Yeah. And she's a lovely woman.
Yeah.
56 years married. And when she came over first, her mammy wouldn't let her come over to England. She's a pagan country. She said, England is a pagan country. You're not going over there. She said, Mam, my boyfriend is over there.
Yeah.
So the only condition that she would let her come to England was that she had to go into the nuns' convent on Upper Brook Street.
Yeah.
So she went over to the nuns where she was taught by the nuns.
Yeah.
And the mother went over to the nuns and said, have you got a place over in Manchester when Nancy's going over? And so they rigged her up in Manchester. And looking back, it must have been a terrible couple of years for her, really.
Yeah.
Because mice was running around and you had your own allocation of food.
Yeah.
And you had to be in by 10:30 on a Saturday night and 10 o'clock were the nights.
Wow.
And you couldn't bring no boys in. No boys could come in.
Not even you?
Oh, not even me, not even anybody. No, they didn't let them in there.
Wow.
But I'll tell you about Jimmy Cricket.
Yes, yes.
My mate Jimmy, I do just the songs for recitations for Jimmy. Lovely fella.
Yeah. So you do stuff on stage?
He lives up the road from me.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, he lives up the road. And he was coming down one day in his Merc.
Yeah.
And I had a van, big old van, and I was pulling out this big tree. And I had a big rope around it. I dug all around the tree.
Yeah.
And I had a rope around it. And I was pulling and I was going up the road with the van.
Yeah.
And Jimmy stopped his car in the middle of the road. Pat, pat, pat. He said, stop. He said, somebody's tied your van to the tree. I said, I'm trying to pull the bloody thing out, Jimmy. And that's no joke. Get out of the way. Yeah. With Jimmy, yeah. He asked me, would I do a bit of singing for him one time?
Oh, so really?
So I says, well, sing anything you want, Jimmy, as many as you want. And he put his hand on my shoulder and he says, Pat, he says, just remember one thing.
Yeah.
It's my show.
but I bet you stole the show anyway, didn't you? Yeah.
But I've got great comfort now since Nancy died with meeting up with these adult Irish dancers. And I go down there every Monday night.
To the Irish dancing?
To the Irish centre.
Yeah.
To the Irish dancing. And I say we go in the parade and they go around to nursing homes.
Yeah.
Nursing homes and that. And I sing for them. I sing a couple of songs, introduce them, then they do a dance or two.
Mm.
Then while they're getting their breath, I put them changing their shoes. I sing another dance or two,
yeah,
and or sing another couple of songs, and they do another dance. And we've been at an old people's home in Warrington.
Oh, really?
Yeah, recently, before Patrick's Day.
That's like a UK tour. You're going all over the place,
aren't you? Oh, I do, yeah. Yeah, I love it. I love it. And I say, look at what good we're doing, you know.
And you see, I'll be honest, so at 84, Pat, you'll be going around to a lot of these, you know, nursing homes, and I bet you're older than a lot of the people.
Yeah.
Here's the entertainment tonight.
When I come in, I just say, I'm not looking for a bed, really. Your room is safe. I don't want a bed. Thank you very much. But I went in one night to a nursing home, and this the owner of the nursing home.
Yeah.
She approached me, and she said, we've got a Mr. McGinty here.
Yeah.
It's her birthday today. Would you possibly make reference to her? I said, no problem. I'm your man. So I got up and I got up to my throne. I said, we're very honoured today, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Very honoured indeed. We've got Paddy McGinty's mother here today, but we haven't got the goat. So I'm going to give you Paddy McGinty's goat.
Brilliant.
So that's why.
Yeah.
I'm gladly. It's a weird challenge.
But it's like Tom Jones going around. Do you ever get underpants thrown at you?
Some bricks. I'll tell you what.
Some bricks.
I'll tell you something now. That my neighbours, I said, they love to hear me sing.
Yeah.
I said, when I'm in that bath, I said, I can really give it full volume. I said, they throw bricks to the window so they can hear me better. Yeah. Rest of the way.
Wow. Pat Fallon, thank you for being on Two Cups of Tea. I've had a whale of a time with you. Cheers, Pat.
Thank you very much. There you are.
Put it there.
I never told you about my teeth. I lost my teeth in the Pacific.
Tell me now. We've got time for this one.
When I went on holidays to LA, I went down to the beach and this big wave hit me right in the belly and out shot my teeth into the ocean. So I lost my teeth. I was going to a steakhouse that night.
Oh, what a crime.
Yeah, in America.
Oh.
Big 16-hour, 30-hour steak.
Yeah.
Anyway, I went to church that very night.
Yeah.
And in the church magazine was advertisements for different things.
Yeah.
And it was three dentists. So I went to one on the first thing Monday morning. So I said, I'm out of here on Thursday. Can you have it for me for Thursday? No, I'm out for Friday. I must have it Thursday.
Yeah.
If you can't do it Thursday, forget about it. we can do it, sir. So they brought me in and gave me fittings and all that.
Yeah.
And fair play, I had to take the teeth on the Thursday morning. So I put them in and I said, now, Pat, I can go in the movies now. Yeah. Pat, I can go in the movies now. And when I went to, we went down to Mexico one day and after
you've been all over the shop, haven't you?
After me losing my teeth,
yeah.
I had no teeth, and we were at the water park the day before, so I had a sailor's hat on,
yeah.
Sailor's hat on, my shorts on, and my body showing with the arms out.
Like, of course, so you're a bodybuilder,
A Mexican came out of one of the shops. He says, Popeye, you want a woman? I said, I don't want a woman. So, yeah, goes round the corner, and this other guy comes out of the shop. Popeye, you think you must have some bloody smoke signals or something. And he says, Popeye, you want a woman? You want two women? I said, enough bloody trouble with the two I have.
Oh, that's
I don't want
amazing.
Any more.
Yeah. That's amazing. That was,
yeah.
And these are Mexicans?
Mexican.
Yeah.
Talking about Mexican.
Don't know. They didn't have to sound German, Pat.
Mexican. I had to apologise to them.
And that was Pat, and it was one of my favourite visits yet. His daughters, I have to tell you, make amazing scones. As you just heard, this podcast is about sharing some fantastic life stories, but there are well over a million chronically lonely people in the UK who have no one to share their stories with. If you'd like to know more about ways to change this, then please go online and visit campaigntoendloneliness.org, and let's find out together how we can make loneliness a thing of the past. Thanks again to Pat, and also thanks to Acast for hosting the show. And rather than play out with Claire de Lune as usual, today I'd like the beautiful voice of Pat Fallon to play us out. This is a song called Spinning Wheel. See you next time.
Mellow, the moonlight to shine is beginning. Slow spy the window, young Eileen is spinning. Bent o'er the fire, her blind grandmother's knitting. Slowly groaning and drowsily knitting. Eileen, a curra, I hear someone tapping. It's the ivy, grandmother, against the glass wrapping. Eileen, I surely hear somebody sighing. The sound, grandmother dear, of the autumn winds dying. Merrily, cheerily, noiselessly whirling, spins the wheel while the first stirring, brightly and lightly and airily ringing, came the sweet voice of the young maiden singing. There's a form at the casement, the form of her true love, who whispers with face bent, I'm waiting for you, love. Step up from the stool to the lattice, step lightly. We'll stroll in the grove while the moon's shining brightly. The maid shakes her head, on her lips lays her fingers. Steps up from her stool, longs to go, yet lingers. A frightened glance streaks at her drowsy grandmother. With one foot on the stool, she spins the wheel with the other. Slower and slower and slower the reel rings. Lower and lower, lower the wheel spins. Ere the wheel and the spiel stop the spinning and moving, in the grove the young lovers by a moonlight a roving. In the grove the young lovers by a moonlight a roving. Good or good?
The biggest names in tennis are coming to Paris for the most anticipated Roland Garros in years. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled tournament access as the world's top players in tennis face off against each other. Will the veteran champions continue their dominance, or will a fresh face emerge to challenge their legacy on the clay courts? Daily live coverage of this epic showdown begins Monday, May 20th. Don't miss a matchup. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.